open your Bibles anywhere, I'll be there directly. I generally open my Bible when I get up here to the first verse that I'm going to read. The problem today is I'm not sure which one that's going to be at this juncture. And it reminded me of a place down in Branson that has a guy that does some preaching. And he kind of convolutes the scriptures. I think it's humorous. Some people probably might not think it's a thing to do. But I'm impressed with the amount of knowledge he has in order to convolute the scriptures the way he does. But when he opens his sketches, he says, "Open your Bibles anywhere, I'll be there directly." How many of you have heard lessons on the Apostle Peter? How many of you have heard more than one lesson on the Apostle Peter? How many of you here want to hear another one? Good, because you're gonna. The Apostle Peter from Bethsaida, John 1 and 44. He lived in Capernaum during Jesus' ministry on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. One of the translations calls it the Lake of Gennesaret. Luke 5 and 10. Jesus named him Cephas. Most of the translations spell that C-E-P-H-A-S. It comes from the Greek, K-E-P-H-A-S. The Latin is Cephas. And it means rock or stone, probably more like a pebble on the seashore rather than a solid, immovable rock. Because Peter was a fisherman. In Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18, that rock is mentioned. And that rock is the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And faith in that fact is the solid, immovable rock, the foundation of the church. Peter could be wavering and unsure. And this is an example of this is when he ate with the Gentiles, and then he didn't eat with the Gentiles. And he is rebuked by Paul for that in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14. Peter could be resolute. Acts 4 and 10. Acts 5, verses 1 through 10. He could be rash and hasty. Luke 22, 33. He could be irritable and angry. John 18, 10. He could be gentle, yet firm. John 21, verses 15 through 17. He's described in Acts 4 and 13 as unlearned. Probably referring to the fact that he may not have been schooled very well in the law of Moses. And it is doubtful that he understood the Greek language very well. But he matured. He became capable when entrusted with great responsibility. Peter was a forceful personality. Much commentary has been written about the dark side of his forceful personality. I had to get that in there. But he wasn't much different than you or I, really, was he? Wasn't much different than any human would react under those circumstances. There are so many things said about Peter that we get the whole picture of him. A very good picture of his human nature. We see him from one end to the other. From humility to pride, from shyness to boldness, from hesitancy to rashness. And can we not all relate to him? We share so many of the same qualities of humanness. He often stumbled as a humble disciple at first. But he became a dedicated apostle who served faithfully. Kind of like the pattern of a Christian. We stumble at first, don't we? More than later on. We stumble at first, but hopefully we grow and mature, and hopefully we become a dedicated and faithful servant of Jesus Christ. In Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, Jesus took Peter fishing. He got in the boat, told him to go out to deeper water, and they caught so much fish that it weighed the boat down. And what was Peter's reaction? Remember what Peter said? Depart from me. He said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He said, that kind of power is scary. Get away from me, because I'm not perfect. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Don't use that power to get after me, because I'm a sinner. This miracle made a deep impression on Peter. He'd fished all night and not caught anything. And here comes Jesus, who says, go out into the deep water in the middle of the day, and they catch so much fish, it weighs the boat down. I've read one of the commentaries I've got says this was illogical according to all the laws of fishing. I wouldn't know. I'm not a fisherman. I took my son fishing one time, and he stood 6 feet from me and hauled fish in every time he threw his rod out there, and I didn't get the thing. I'm not a fisherman. When things don't go our way, how many times do we fail to humble ourselves and look to Jesus and pray for help? To God through Jesus. We don't pray to Jesus, we pray to God through Jesus. We let situations, we let people, we let just about anything else upset us. But we don't remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and how important it is to get to heaven and how everything else on this earth pales in comparison to that. In Matthew 14, verses 22 and 23, things got out of control. Peter's walking on the water and he starts to sink. And what does he say? Lord, save me. He said, Lord, save me. He cried, Lord, save me. How many times would we be better off if we cried, Lord, save me? There are too many things in this life beyond our control. Our society's getting more and more greedy. It's getting more and more immoral. More and more discourteous and disrespectful. And human life has less value. We're shooting each other in the schools and on the streets. You remember when, I believe it was in Columbine, François Mitterrand was Prime Minister of France. You remember what he said? I believe it was after Columbine. Does anybody remember what he said? He said, Americans shooting Americans are as American as apple pie. How good of a perception is that? How good of a perception is that toward telling us where our society is going? Do we humble ourselves and pray? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. If we would but realize that nothing on this earth should hinder our journey to heaven, we would be much less concerned with the things that get us down. As we travel through life, we should not forget to humble ourselves, to give God reverence, and to remember why we're here. That is, to serve God. In John 6, Jesus is using highly figurative language concerning the eating of His flesh and the drinking of His blood. And the Scripture says, many disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And many left. And these were other disciples. These were disciples of Jesus other than the 12. Because the Scripture turns right around in the next verse and says, He said to the 12, are you going to leave too? Other disciples says, it's too hard for us. We're heading on down out of here. And He turns to the 12 and He says, are you leaving me too? And who answered? Peter. And you remember what he said? What's he say? To whom shall we go? And he went on to say that you have the words of eternal life and you're the Messiah. But he said, to whom shall we go? Who are we going to go to? Who else is there? Who are we going to go to? So I ask you, to whom shall we go? In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus asked them, who do the people say that I am? And they said, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, other Old Testament prophets. And then he turned to the apostles and he says, and who do you say that I am? And who answered? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The rock, that saying, that belief and the faith in it is the foundation of the church. And what did Jesus do to Peter? What was his reaction to Peter saying that? What did he say to Peter? Blessed art thou. He praised Peter for that statement. He praised Peter. And that was probably one of the high points of Peter's life. And then in the next few verses, Jesus says he's to be killed. And who again spoke up? Peter. And what did he say? Not going to happen to you. It'll never happen to you. And what did Jesus say? He rebuked him. The high and the low, the up and the down, in a matter of 7 verses. Peter was praised and then rebuked, hit the high and hit the low in 7 verses. Life kind of does that to us, doesn't it? We're up one minute, we're down the next. We get compliments, then we get criticism. We're feeling up, we're feeling down. To whom do we go? Peter was once again humbled in John 13, 4 through 8, where Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And what did Peter say? You'll never wash mine. And what did Jesus say? I'll wash yours or you won't have any part of me. And then what did Peter say? Not just my feet, but my heads and my hands also. I think he realized the situation. I think he was humbled. In John 18 and 10, his impetuous personality arises. And this is when he cut the ear of the servant off. And who was the servant? Malchus. I remember probably 45 years ago, I was in college because I was a math major and I was a logical thinker. Don't math people think logically? Sure. We're logical thinkers. And we were getting together for fellowship one night at members of the Church of Christ at Clarinda. And we were having Bible trivia. And one of the questions that I got was a 2-part question. It was, who is the name of the servant that Peter cut off his ear and what ear did he cut off? Being a logical thinker and being a very smart person, I didn't know. I missed Malchus, didn't know that name. But I thought, you know, I'll get this ear question right because I didn't know. But I thought, I'll get this ear question right because I think logically. So I thought, what is it, 80-some percent of the people are right-handed? Now, you got a sword in your right hand and the guy is coming toward you. And you slash at him and you cut off his ear. Which ear are you going to cut off? You're right-handed, he's coming toward you. Which ear's over here? The left ear. Logical thinking. So I said, left ear. Beep, wrong. It's the right ear. Now there's three explanations for this that could be. One is that Peter was behind him. I doubt that. Another explanation is Peter could have been left-handed. Could have been. I don't recall reading anywhere one way or the other. He could have been left-handed. That would make logical sense. Or Peter had perfected the backhanded, cross-handed sword-slashing technique. But at any rate, he cut off the right ear of Malchus in a rash and hasty move. Then come the denials. I'll read Matthew 26, verses 31 through 33. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Now, can't you picture this? Peter says, "Well, those guys might all run away from you, but boy, I'm not. You know, those guys probably take off, but not me. I won't take off." I can just picture him. The rash, impetuous nature of Peter. But then we see another side of Peter. It took a little dragging out of him. But we see another side of Peter in the 21st chapter of John. There are two words in the Greek used here for the word love. One's agape. And agape is defined as the deepest love. Willing to sacrifice everything, even to the death. So agape is deep, sacrificial love. And then there is phileo, which is more brotherly kindness, wishing good feelings toward one another, but not as deep as agape love. I'll read here starting in 15, and it says, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And this is agape love here. And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Phileo love. Basically, Peter's saying here, "I think you're a pretty good friend. I wish the best for you. I wish good things for you." And again in the 16th, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Agape. "Do you love me with a deep sacrificial love?" And Peter answers again, phileo wise. You know, he says, "I value our friendship." The third time, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" I have commentary that says Jesus says this in a manner of phileo love. Such as, "Do you mean to tell me that all we are just good friends? Do you mean to tell me that you don't love me with the deepest sacrificial love?" And then Peter realized how deeply he's supposed to love Jesus Christ. And he answers in the agape, "You know all things. You know that I love you." One of the commentaries says it hit Peter right in the heart. Right between the eyes, so to speak. He realized that he was to serve Jesus with all his heart, with deep sacrificial love. And that was what Jesus wanted to hear. Jesus wants to hear the same thing from us. He wants us to serve Him with the deepest love, with sacrificial love, sacrificing the things of the world, and serving Him. Are we not impetuous, yet sometimes careful? Rash, but sometimes cautious. Loving, and sometimes not so loving. sometimes irritable, sometimes gentle, sometimes angry, sometimes kind. Much has been written about Peter, probably because he was a forceful personality. How many of our own human traits do we see in the Apostle Peter? How many human foibles are in Peter that we see in ourselves? Do we not exhibit the traits that he exhibited? Do we realize, as he did, how deeply we are to love and serve Jesus Christ? Are we committed to serving God faithfully? I ask you, to whom do we go? We have to come to Jesus Christ to enter the kingdom of heaven. We offer the gospel invitation at this time. If you have a need to enter the kingdom, or any need that needs to be confessed before the congregation, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.